There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Week 3 is here, NFL Live off and running. Today on the show, our Sunday showcase features two of the most dynamic players in the league. Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes will show you how the game will be decided. Jalen Ramsey is one of the top defensive players in the league. He played every snap last night. Is a trade still a done deal? And Sunday could feature as many as 6 new starting quarterbacks. We'll present their recipes for success in Week 3. So the bottom line is, if your team's starting quarterback is still standing, you're feeling pretty lucky today.
No doubt about that.
Right here with Field Yates, Damian Woody, Rob Ninkovich, I'm Susie Kalber, and we're still waiting on the official word on Cam Newton. Ron Rivera has a conference call scheduled for 2:45 Eastern, so you will want to stay with us. Meantime, Rivera, as anxious as anyone to know if his starting quarterback, who spent the week in a walking boot, can make it, everyone wants an answer. Like yesterday.
I'm not going to talk about it anymore, guys. I mean, let's talk about Arizona. I mean, I haven't really talked about Arizona, you know, so it'd be good to answer those kind of questions.
Cam, though.
I know it's about Cam, but that's, you know, we won't. I don't know anymore until tomorrow. So let's just, you know, let's talk about Arizona. If not, there's no reason for me to stand here.
You felt before the opener, you were 100% confident he was going to be ready to go. Where are you on that level now?
I just asked you to ask me questions about somebody else. I'm not going to do this anymore, okay? I told you, I won't know anything until tomorrow, okay? Thank you.
Well, the extent of Newton's foot injury has to this point been unknown, but it's been described as a re-aggravation of his preseason injury. He clearly struggled in week 2, so it looks like Kyle Allen will get the start against the Cardinals. And again, we will know for sure sometime around 2:45 Eastern time, assuming Cam is out. 6 teams will start different quarterbacks than they did in week 2. Now, these aren't experienced vets either. Teddy Bridgewater, the only one on this list with at least 15 career starts. And diving a little deeper, none of these new quarterbacks are getting eased into the mix. Excluding the Panthers for now, 5 teams are on the road this week. In fact, their opponents currently have a combined record of 9-1. 4 of the 5 are 0-2. Only the Saints have a win among the group since the current playoff format began in 1990. Just 4 teams have made the playoffs after starting 0-3. And 3 quarterbacks, Mason Rudolph, Daniel Jones, and Luke Falk, will be making their first career starts on Sunday. So let's start with the 3 quarterbacks making their first NFL starts. And we're going to run through them, and you guys can deliver the best recipe for success and also what the biggest challenge is. So, Damian, let's start with Daniel Jones, the Giants' 6th overall pick, replacing Eli Manning, and they're in Tampa. What's the recipe for success?
Well, I think for him is taking care of the football. We saw in the preseason one of his big bugaboos was fumbles. You know, the number one job of a quarterback is to what? Protect the football. We all know what he can do as far as movement in the pocket, outside the pocket, pushing the ball downfield. But if you're not taking care of the football, then you know, you won't give your team a much chance of success. So I think that's where it starts with Daniel Jones.
And biggest challenge the Bucs will face? No, I meant face against the Bucs. I'm sorry.
Okay, bad, that's okay.
Sorry, bad. All right, Mason Rudolph, a 3rd round pick for the Steelers last year, replacing Big Ben, out for the season at San Francisco. Rob, what do you think here? Recipe for success?
The recipe is to protect the quarterback. They have a great offensive line. If you can give him some more time to look at his options, that's going to give him more success. So, you know, other teams, they might have an issue in the front and the quarterback's getting hit really quickly. You can't go through his progression. I think the Steelers have a good front and they have a great running back, so that'll help them take some of the load off of them.
Mayfield, Luke Falk, the Jets' 3rd starting quarterback in 3 weeks, facing the Patriots, whose defense has been sensational, and they're in Foxborough.
Yeah, so the recipe for success here, Susie, is a bit of prayer on Sunday morning prior to the game. But more seriously, what I do think you'll see from Luke Falk is what we saw on Monday night when he took over for Trevor Siemian in relief duty. A lot of passing yardage that was accumulated after the catch. Not a ton of vertical presence down the field. Obviously, Le'Veon Bell had 10 catches last week. Ty Montgomery also got involved. Won't be easy against a Patriots defense that has allowed the same number of touchdowns this season as us combined. Zip, 0, nada. They have been awesome so far for the Patriots on defense.
Yeah, and just to make it tougher is that all those teams are 0-2 and they're all on the road. Mm-hmm. So let's go to the other three quarterbacks. At least they have one start under their belt. Rob, let's start with the Saints. Sean Payton won't say who's going to exactly start, but Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill are both expected to play Sunday in Seattle.
Yeah, so they're going to go with two quarterbacks on the field. You know, it's odd that even when Drew was healthy, that Hill would come on the field and they would have two quarterbacks on the field. So this helps him as far as coming to the offense, understanding what role he's going to have in this game. And I know Sean Payton, he's going to come up with some gadget or some type of play where both of those quarterbacks are on the field and maybe both of them throw it to each other and then they throw it down the field, but there's going to be some trickery going on in Seattle.
Damian Josh Rosen replacing Ryan Fitzpatrick as the Dolphins quarterback in Dallas.
Yeah, this is along the lines of what Phil said, prayer. That will be useful for Josh. Josh Rosen, look, this is an unfortunate situation for any quarterback to be in. And it seems like with Josh Rosen, he's been put in these type of situations too many times early in his pro career. But I think the only thing you can do, try to run the football, take some pressure off the young quarterback, and quick passes, get the ball out of his hands, because behind that offensive line, oof, it could be rough.
Field, Kyle Allen made a spot start for Carolina last season and doing so again in Arizona.
And first, an introduction, Susie. This was an undrafted free agent last year out of Houston, began his college career at Texas A&M, where he was teammates and actually beat out in the quarterback competition Kyler Murray in 2015, where both were there with the Aggies. A player that also beat out Will Greer for the backup job this preseason. I'll tell you what, don't be surprised if Kyle Allen shows well on Sunday. We know the passing game in Carolina had sputtered with Cam Newton under center for the first two games. Kyle Allen is going to be a player that a lot of people will take notice of come Sunday afternoon.
And again, we should know Cam Newton's official status before the show ends at 3 p.m. Eastern time. And now let's update you on Patriots receiver Antonio Brown. Sports Illustrated reported last night that a female artist who had accused Brown of sexual misconduct received what she described as intimidating text messages from Brown after her allegations surfaced earlier this week. The NFL has arranged a call between league investigators and the woman's attorneys. According to SI, Brown has denied the sexual misconduct claim. Yesterday, before reporters learned of this report, Brown addressed the media for the first time as a Patriot.
Is everything all right with you in the league? Are you in good standing to move forward and keep playing?
I'm super grateful to be here to play for Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. You know, I got a lot of the offense to learn and catch up. But I'm excited and grateful to be here and to be a part of these guys.
Antonio, what's it been like working with Tom?
It's been a tremendous honor. He's been here a long time, a lot of details, a lot of work ethic, a great guy to be around, just inspire everyone here.
How has the process been to kind of get used to everything as everything's going on in your life?
Well, it's football. You know, I'm grateful to play football. Every time you walk in the doors here, you know, be your best for the team. So every time I walk in here, I just want to make sure that I'm preparing to give these guys my best.
Antonio, what have you heard from the league, if anything, about your availability moving forward?
I appreciate that question. You know, I'm just here to just focus on ball and look forward to getting out there in the home stadium and being with the team.
Reporters were limited to four questions, so Brown didn't offer much. But today, Bill Belichick peppered with questions regarding Brown's availability. NFL Nation's Mike Reese is there.
Susie, Bill Belichick's Friday news conference started like it usually does. He acknowledged a larger-than-normal media crowd and then started focusing on this week's opponent, the New York Jets. He briefly addressed Antonio Brown, saying he wouldn't be answering any questions. Then when he fielded seven straight questions on the topic, his patience grew thin.
No, there are questions about Antonio. You know, we take all the situations with our team very seriously. And there are some things that we're looking into, but I'm not going to have any comment on any of the off-the-field situations or questions on that. So anything on football, happy to answer.
As far as your work with Antonio in football, do the off-field accusations, allegations complicate your ability to coach him, your feelings about him personally?
Yeah, when we work on football, we work on football.
Bill, do you expect to have Antonio available to you on Sunday?
He's on our roster.
Bill, another headline today focusing on Antonio Brown. Does any of this at all affect his status with the team?
Yeah, I think I've already addressed this, so we're going to get ready for the Jets here. Happy to answer any football questions, but the rest of it, I'm done with the rest of it.
Is there ever a point where some of the off-field stuff is enough okay. is enough, too
so,
much?
Yeah. I'm good. Okay. Thank you. Well, yeah, we had enough of it.
The Patriots were out on the practice field at 11:50 this morning, and Antonio Brown was with them. I'm told he arrived early this morning, went through regular meetings. It's been business as usual for Brown and the Patriots. Susie?
Business as usual. Very challenging in this situation. So what at this point is the league's approach?
Well, so they have been fact-gathering now since the beginning of the week when they spoke with another accuser of Antonio Brown from a separate incident, the one that was not brought to light last night in that Sports Illustrated report. The tricky part here is that every Sunday we have a deadline, right? Will Antonio Brown play for the New England Patriots? The league must act diligently. It also must act with urgency because of the gravity of some of the accusations against Antonio Brown. My sense right now, Susie, is that at any minute, something could change. Really any minute. The next block of the show could happen. But for now, I think the Patriots are going to allow the league to continue to do its investigations while they continue to gather their own information. And it may be that the league is the one that acts first in terms of some sort of potential movement on Antonio Brown, if there is going to be some. The accusations are obviously, you know, they're deplorable in nature, and this is a very difficult situation to observe right now, just as anybody's got sort of a human conscience. So for right now, a lot of wait and see, even though we understand why there's so much interest in what happens prior to Sunday at 1 p.m. when they're scheduled to play the Jets.
And I'll ask you guys, because you have been in that locker room, can it really be business as usual while all of this is swirling around?
It will be business as usual in that in the building when they're practicing, when they're going through their meetings, when they're talking about what they're going to do on Sunday. It's business as usual. But I'm sure, you know, there's got to be talk after, you know, in lunch when you guys are having, when the guys are talking, they're like, man, this is crazy, huh? And, you know, you could kind of see it on Bill's face. I think he's a little bit fed up with just the questions and the repetitiveness of those questions. And look, they're a great football team. They're the best football team in the league right now. And nobody's talking about the football team. They're talking about one guy. So I think that, you know, it's just odd for the Patriots to have to be dealing with this week two.
I always look at it as like risk reward. Is it really worth it? Really? Is it really worth it if you're the New England Patriots? You've won without them? Mm-hmm. Is it really worth it to have this on, you know, in your building, in your organization? And I think that's something that, you know, the whole organization is going to have to weigh moving forward, because guess what? This is going to continue each and every day. This is not going anywhere as far as reporters and everything camped out at the Patriots facility. They're going to keep coming.
Yeah, we know that Field is tapped in. He'll keep us posted. And Mike Reese is working the open locker room right now. We'll have a report from Mike later in the show. Coming up, don't mess with the mustache. Gardner Minshew and the Jaguars showed up last night against the Titans. Is Minshew a future star? And Breeze, Big Ben, Eli Manning, all on the sidelines. Can their replacements step up to the plate and fill their shoes?
I'm not dying, and the season's not over. So there's a lot to be positive about, a lot to be grateful for, and so I just got to, you know, kind of accept my new role and make the best of it.
NFL Live is brought to you by AT&T. More for your thing, that's our thing. And Domino's. Order online and track your order.
Back on NFL Live, full slate of Sunday games on the way. We know you're monitoring all the injury situations. Let's start East Coast and James Conner of the Steelers.
Let's be Mr. Positive for a second here, Susie. After looking like he may not be available early on in the week because of a knee injury, James Conner was upgraded to full participation in practice on Thursday. We expect him to play on Sunday, and I know it's just week three, but man, is that a must-win for the Steelers going on the road to San Francisco. Do expect James Conner to play alongside, of course, the new starter in Mason Rudolph. Now, not so much optimism in the same state of Philadelphia. DeSean Jackson has not practiced all week. He left last week's game early because of a groin issue. Susie, do not expect to see DeSean Jackson. Actually, they're calling it an abdomen, as you can see right there, but it's all attached sort of the core area here. Don't look for DeSean on Sunday. But maybe, just maybe, you'll see Alshon Jeffrey, who himself has not practiced this week because of a calf issue. But Doug Peterson left the door open to him playing again. You've got a guy who's been playing in the league for, what, 2002 on. You don't have to worry so much about practice prep for Alshon. So maybe there's a chance he does play on Sunday. Now a player we know is out for sure, Devin Singletary, who came up lame, as you'll see right here, with a hamstring injury late in the win over the Giants last week. He is officially out on Sunday. The Bills do play the Bengals at home. Frank Gore, the ageless wonder, will be the next starting running back for Buffalo. Last one here, Susie. Mark Andrews for the Baltimore Ravens did not practice on Wednesday because of a foot issue. Limited on Thursday, but this seems to be kind of a routine. Mark Andrews and Hollywood, or Marquise Brown, both guys who are in their first and second year and seem to already be getting veteran rest days, which tells you just how important they are to that passing game right now in Baltimore.
Yeah, we're going to spend a bunch of time on what could be the marquee matchup of the week in week three, the Ravens and the Chiefs. Yeah. Just how impressed are you with Lamar Jackson? I mean, it's a small sample size, but, I mean, he's not just obviously running the ball. I mean, he has been passing the ball tremendously.
I've been incredibly impressed with Lamar Jackson because it's just, you know, after last year when he kind of, you know, we saw that offense and people were wondering, well, what's the next step in the evolution for Lamar Jackson? Will he be able to take that next step? And clearly over the past couple games, he has done that. Yes, they're going to run the ball because obviously you're going to utilize his dynamic skill set. But I mean, when you combine the fact how he's been able to distribute the ball accurately down the field, if Lamar Jackson can continue this, Baltimore is going to be a very, very tough team to beat moving forward.
Accurate passing, great reads, really putting it all together and clearly comfortable in this offense.
Yeah, it's really hard to stop a quarterback that can get out of the pocket, scramble, and has a great arm. You know, he's not just a one-dimensional guy. And I think that early in the season when he was saying, yeah, not bad for running back, right? He was kind of just proving that to people like, hey, I'm not just running the ball here. I can make every throw on the field. So we are seeing that. And he's got like a lot of zip to it. He's got great accuracy. And I even like the fact that he's trying to take care of himself. And when he's on the sideline, he's ducking out. He's not taking some unnecessary hits,
right. Which
a lot of young quarterbacks, unfortunately, have to learn the hard way, and they have to be coached. Hey, get out of bounds. Don't take all the unnecessary punishment. So I like what I've seen so far. So hopefully he can continue to grow and defenses don't catch on to what he's doing.
Definitely respect all of Lamar's improvements. He's made a ton of strides. I also love the way they've tailored the offensive personnel to fit what he does well and what they want to do systematically.
That John Harbaugh. Great coach.
I was going to say, we know what Harbaugh was talking about when the preseason started. He said this could be a revolution in offense, you know, like a whole new era.
And it certainly seems like it is a rebirthed offense, right? A lot more positivity coming out of Baltimore right now compared to where they were last season.
All right, so speaking of Lamar, it's going to be our Sunday showcase. We're going to spend plenty of time with our matchup against the Chiefs. So much fun to see those guys together. Now, back on NFL Live, week three kicked off last night with a battle in the AFC South. The mustache went primetime as the Jags hosted the Titans. It made for fun Thursday night theater.
The biggest story, I think, is Gardner Minshew.
Gets it away, I thought a very good punch. Janked that one a little bit. Can he get a bounce? It's going to roll all the way down to the 15. Now fumble. He picked it up. The ball is still on the ground. The ball is on the ground. Everybody trying to get there. Who got it? Jacksonville has it. Play fake. Looking. Goes toward the end zone. There's James Oshodis. He touchdown.
The kid has ice in his veins.
Fire toward the end zone. Once D.D. Chark in the corner of the end zone. Chark attack. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
D.J. Chark is on fire.
Throws deep downfield. Going for Tajay Chark. What a catch. Throws late. He throws it behind Walker and incomplete.
They send four.
They're going to get to him and sack him. Took Calais Campbell, got him again.
What a performance by this Jaguars defense.
A lot of people never thought I'd get this opportunity, so now that I do have it, I got to make the most of it. So I'm super grateful for it, but I know, you know, through everything I've learned in my career, you know, the situation I'm in, I may only get one. So you got to make the most of it. So that's what I'm trying to do now.
We see what the D-line did today. Today was their day. Today they turned up, had however many sacks they had. I'm talking about everybody got a piece of it. So I was excited to see them guys have a huge game and get a good win. We got a good win today.
Do you think Jalen Ramsey got any questions about possible trade talks? All of that is swirling. But he played every defensive snap,
yep.
And he played great. So where does all this stand now?
So, Susie, we are again in one of those situations where it could happen at any minute. That being said, the Jaguars don't necessarily need to trade Jalen Ramsey. You heard last night their owner, Shad Khan, talking about wanting to make him a foundational piece for this franchise going forward and being willing to play him in, you know, future games and pay him going forward. So Jacinda Anderson has reported the expectation is there's a trade by next Sunday, but that could literally change based off what we saw last night, because by the end of this weekend, they could be tied for first place once again in the AFC South.
With what he saw with his defense and the quarterback, does he send some flowers upstairs and say, hey, I'm sorry for that request. Can you keep me around?
Do you trade a player of that magnitude? Like, literally, the division you're in, you're in the AFC South. It's up for grab for anyone.
Right.
Anyone.
It's got to be. The deal has to make total sense to Jacksonville.
Unless they're confident with the front.
Well, I was going to say.
By the way, no deal makes sense. Just everybody say you're sorry.
Lower way would have to be what it takes, right? You'd have to be multiple first-round picks, which seems to be their asking price right now. And if a team is willing to make that, then you have to say to yourself, for Jacksonville, hey, if he's going to walk in a year and a half or 2 years from now, then is this better value for us going forward?
All right, let's talk more on this game. And, Rob, the defense in general, I mean, Jags' defense looked great.
Yep.
9 sacks. Was that, do you think, more a product of the Jags or disappointing night by the Titans' offensive line?
I'm a D lineman. I'm going to go the D line. it was feast or famine, and they were feasting out there. So when you have 7 different guys get to the quarterback with 9 sacks, I mean, it's impressive. Campbell, Allen, Jackson, Smoot, Brian, they're all getting there. So when you see all them guys having fun, it's contagious, and they were making plays.
Damian, the quarterback, Minshew, another strong start. Do you envision a scenario where maybe he challenges a healthy Nick Foles and Foles comes back?
Listen, I challenge everyone to look up Wally Pipp.
Okay.
Everyone, listen, if you've ever been involved in sports, you know what the story of Wally Pipp. Listen, as much as Nick Foles is making contract-wise, if Gardner Minshew continues to win, you can't pull him out.
This is a great story, a storybook journey for Minshew. 4 years ago, he was playing at a Mississippi community college. After a nondescript stretch at East Carolina, Minshew enrolled as a grad student at Washington State, blossomed under Mike Leach. He went 178th overall in April's draft and is now the toast of Duval County. Rob, cheers for Minshew. Cheers for the flags. 15 penalties in the first half alone, and the flags drew criticism all over social media, including a tweet from Tom Brady. He said, I'm turning off the game. I can't watch these ridiculous penalties anymore. How do you think the league should address this?
Make them full-time employees. Have them do a game every offseason to stay fresh. I mean, I don't know what their answer is, but in the third quarter, somebody must have said something because there was no flags in the third quarter. So unless somebody in the year was like, hey, guys, let's stop throwing the yellow flag.
It was disgusting.
It was bad.
Literally. 15 flags in a half? Like, come on now. That's awful. It
and
really
when you have
is.
quarterbacks saying, like, this flag stuff is crazy. I think Kurt Warner said something.
He did.
Even as a quarterback,
he did.
I'm saying this is insane.
Rob, but didn't you find it ironic that Tom would say that, though? Tom gets hit. The first thing he's doing, where's the flag?
Right there. And the ref's like, oh, yeah. You're right.
By the way, Mike Vrabel said today at his press conference, you're allowed to send penalties into the league for review. Say, what was the deal here? They're sending in their full allotment of 10 questionable calls from last night's game. So Mike Vrabel certainly agrees.
The, what are they going to do about it? Nothing. They'll just be like, we made a mistake.
It's a teaching point going
forward.
But then
guys still get fined. Because if it's any roughing the passer, you're getting a fine no matter what. So what are they going to say? Oh, yeah, we'll take the fine away. No.
It's a reflection of it was a tough night at the office.
Yeah, we have a roughing the passer no matter what coming later. But,
yeah, we'll talk about
when you
about
have
that,
a future – when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback and a future Hall of Fame quarterback both weighing in, yeah, you bet.
Yeah.
There were some phone calls. Speaking of future Hall of Fame quarterbacks, we'll continue with our really great matchups this week. Aaron Rodgers facing former Bears defensive coordinator Vic Fangio, now the Broncos head coach. Rodgers had that huge comeback against Fangio's Bears in week one last season, but also was held without a passing touchdown on 42 attempts in the week 15 rematch. Rodgers was asked if it looked like the same old Fangio defense.
The biggest thing is the personnel. You know, that makes a lot of different personnel. You know, they won't match every time. Like a lot of teams will match nickel to sub and base against base personnel. But they'll, you know, do some mixed matches. They'll go base against nickel. They'll go base against sub. They'll go nickel against, you know, 12 personnel. They'll run, you know, 5 or 6 defensive linemen, rush type guys on the field, which we saw last year when he was in Chicago. You know, he's a fantastic coach. I'm happy for him getting the opportunity after so many years, you know, being a great assistant in the league. And I haven't spent a lot of time with him, but I have a ton of respect for the way he's gone about his business over his career.
Will be a great chess match in the Friday edition of NFL Live. We do game picks. Let's run through some. Let's start with that game. Broncos, Packers, you're first.
Yeah, I got the Packers 24-17. I think that, listen, who ever thought that Aaron Rodgers needed to catch up to the Packers defense? Literally, the Packers defense has been carrying this team. They've been lights out with all the new personnel that they had on defense, and Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator, has just been fantastic the first couple weeks. I think it's going to be more of the same this week against the Broncos.
Rob.
Woody, I'm right with you. Packers 28-13. You know, you look at what Denver's been doing on offense, I think they're throwing the ball way too much. You know, and Flacco just looks out of sync. That defense hasn't been as great as what everyone was talking about. And look at the Packers. They look great. So, got to go with the Packers.
Raiders at Vikings, Damian.
I'm going Vikings 27-24. And I don't have any analytics or anything like that. Literally, it comes down to Kirk Cousins. Wake up. Like, when are you going to get going? You are the Minnesota Vikings are my team to win the NFC North. I need Kirk Cousins to get it going.
Rob?
I got to go with the Raiders. If I'm coaching the Raiders, I am telling my players, if we stop the run and put it in Cousins' hands, we will win this football game. We win the game. So the Raiders will win this game 20-10 if they can stop the run.
Lions at Eagles. Damian, who do you have?
I got the Lions 24-20. Listen, I think that this Philadelphia Eagles offensive line, you know, it's been touted, but it hasn't been playing as well. I think this Lions front, defensive front will be able to get after Philadelphia and Carson Wentz. So I'm going with the Lions here.
I got to go with the Lions. I'm going Lions 20-17. I think the Lions are playing well right now. You know, you look at the things that they're able to do to other teams. I think other teams are underestimating the Lions, and they're not preparing the way that they should. So I think the Eagles are underachieving, and the Lions are going to go in and they're going to get a win.
And the Eagles are all beat up.
Mm-hmm.
Falcons at Colts.
I got the Colts 31-28. Listen, Jacoby Brissett has been playing pretty well. You know, obviously they got the pieces around him. Offensive line is doing well, and I know everyone coming to the season question whether Jacoby Brissett could be the guy to really hold it down for the Colts, but I like the Colts winning this game.
And I'm going Colts 17-14. I know Adam Vinatieri has been struggling a little bit and working through some of the mental struggles of kicking, but I have a feeling this game's going to be 14-14, and Vinatieri kicks a field goal to make it 17-14. Colts win.
So you're
and if
all
that happens, it wouldn't surprise me. If that happens, I'm going to buy a lotto ticket.
All those games are fine. But now, it's our Sunday showcase matchup featuring two of the most dynamic and exciting players in the league as Lamar Jackson and the Ravens take on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. So here we go, Ravens at Chiefs. In the last 20 seasons, only 4 players have passed for at least 7 touchdowns with no interceptions through 2 weeks. 2 of them are facing off at Arrowhead on Sunday. The other 2, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Not bad company to keep for Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. And we know that the meeting between these 2 teams last December pretty much had everything. So can this one live up to the hype? We're going to give it the take your pick kind of style here. And remember, this isn't about career. We're just talking about on Sunday. Who would you pick? So, guys, let's start with the quarterbacks. Who are you taking, Jackson or Mahomes?
Oh.
The MVP.
This wasn't hard to say. Listen, it's no disrespect to Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson has been balling. But listen, Patrick Mahomes is just – I don't even know – do you have – I don't even have enough superlatives to really describe the way that Patrick Mahomes plays a game. Tyreek Hill out. They still don't miss a beat. Like, he's still doing all the fantastic things that we see out of Patrick Mahomes all the time. No-look passes, precision passes down the field. Sammy Watkins has come alive. It's going to be awfully tough to beat Patrick Mahomes in Arrowhead.
I love this. Last week, the Chiefs are held scoreless in the first quarter for the first time in 23 games. Scoreless. You know what they do in the second quarter?
Boom.
276 passing touchdowns. Good luck slowing down Patrick Mahomes. I have no answer for him. Nobody does.
It's going to be tough. He's a terrific player.
He's really good.
So it's Baltimore, by the way, that has the number one overall and top scoring offense in the NFL. So, Rob, let's do pass catchers. Which side you go?
I'm going to have to go Sammy Watkins and Kelce right here. These two guys alone are so productive. And then you add in Pat Mahomes. I mean, the ability for them to stretch the field. And like you said, with that last game they're in, it was second quarter, explosion of offense, explosive. So, like, to stop that, I think it's going to be so hard. And when you have a big tight end, I know how hard it is to cover a big tight end. With Rob Gronkowski, when I was trying to cover him every day in practice, I couldn't do it because he was so big. So when you have a guy like Kelce, you can stretch the field, and then your receivers cut underneath, it just opens the field up. So I think that it's going to be tough for the Ravens to stop that receiving core.
Before we hit the running backs, update us on some injury news.
Damian Williams is a knee injury. He is officially out for Sunday in this massive showdown with the Baltimore Ravens, which means that LeSean McCoy, who himself is banged up, he's got an ankle issue, but he has been practicing on Thursday and then again today, would be in line to start if he does play on Sunday. The depth names you need to know. Darwin Thompson, sixth-round pick out of Utah State. Darrell Williams, former standout at LSU. They've got like 30 LSU running backs in the NFL. Williams, part of that group. So it looks like, though, LeSean McCoy, how about the chance he gets? Go Buffalo to Kansas City and be a starter early on. Pretty sweet for Shady McCoy.
Then all that said,
I'm going Ingram. Listen, Ingram has been balling so far the first couple weeks in the season. And it doesn't hurt when you have a dynamic quarterback in Lamar Jackson in the backfield as well. But this Raven, physical Ravens offensive line combined with Mark Ingram and company, the way they run the football, the physicality in which they run the football, I got to go with the Baltimore Ravens here.
Before we dive in on the defense with the guys, both defenses has changed a lot since the last time they met. The Ravens lost four defensive starters in free agency, but signed former All-Pro Earl Thomas away from Seattle. And as for the Chiefs, they traded Dee Ford, cut Justin Houston and Eric Berry, but they also traded a first-rounder for Frank Clark and signed Tyrann Mathieu, among other moves. So
when you think defense,
so the guys on the back end include Earl Thomas.
Yes.
Remember, Earl Thomas was this close to signing a deal with the Kansas City Chiefs in free agency. One of those under-the-radar storylines because of the whopper deal he got with Baltimore. He's going to need to be as good as he can be because no Jimmy Smith, unlikely on Sunday. The Ravens secondary a bit banged up. And every time you think about playing Patrick Mahomes, you probably lose like an extra hour of sleep if you're Wink Martindale, the Ravens defensive coordinator.
Yes, you do. So this kind of looks like a bit of an even split. Let's do it. Pick it.
You going?
I'm going. I'm going Chiefs 28-24. Listen, the game is at Arrowhead, and Lamar Jackson, the Baltimore Ravens, they've been playing fantastic. But when you have this much firepower, the Chiefs, I'm talking about, when you even without Tyreek Hill, they still can put up points in the blink of an eye, along with the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead.
And I know how Arrowhead could be loud and crazy, and those fans are going to be out of their mind. I guarantee. Hey, we didn't talk about this. I'm saying, but the Chiefs will win by a close margin, 28-24.
We didn't talk about it at all.
Nothing. That was just our scores. We came in. They said, look, it's the same thing. I said, all right, great minds think alike, I guess, right?
It was Chiefs 27-24 last year.
How about that?
That's right.
We're on a trend here.
Ravens defensive coordinator Wink Martindale said this could be a new era of heavyweights. It could be like Manning and Brady.
You got to pump the brakes on that one.
Those two played 17 times.
Yes. 17 times, two Hall of Famers. I mean,
like Bird and Magic. They played 18
Maybe
times.
Maybe pump the brakes on that
Maybe
one, too.
Yeah. Pump the brakes on all of it right now.
Yes. Anyway, yes. We expect it to be a whole lot of fun. Can't wait to watch that one. Now time for week three of the matchup game as we dissect some of the most compelling and telling matchups of the week. Rob, you're up first. What's your perfect matchup, like the strength on strength?
Okay, my perfect matchup is going to go Alvin Kamara versus Bobby Wagner.
Ooh, I like it.
So Alvin Kamara, he's already been a big part of the offense, right? He's going to have to do more because you don't have Drew Brees. You have a couple quarterbacks that are going to be playing. You're going to be a tandem quarterback, which is going to be different. He's going to have a bigger workload. Then you go Bobby Wagner, one of the best cover linebackers in the NFL. He's getting a little bit older, but I'm not saying, you know, he's like fine wine, right? Is he getting better with age? I don't know. I know how hard it is to cover running back. I've had to do it. So my pick, I'm going to have to go with Kamara. I got to go to Kamara. I think that he's one of the best.
You're going off defense.
I got it because I know how hard he is to cover. I haven't covered him, but I know that he's going to be fed the ball a lot. Bobby Wagner's probably going to be on him all day, but it's going to be tough. So I got to go Kamara. I think he's one of the best. I know he's one of the best, so I got to go Kamara. He's going to win this matchup.
Lean I'm going. That way.
You're telling me to go?
Lean that way.
All right, I'm going.
Lean
I'm
that
going.
Way.
I'm right here. It's my guy right here.
Flip side, what's the biggest mismatch this weekend?
So how about this one? How about the Los Angeles Chargers rushing attack against the Houston Texans rush defense? You talk about a Chargers team.
Oh,
no
back.
Russell Okung, no Melvin Gordon. They're averaging 5.7 yards per rush. That's third best in the league. And the Houston Texans, you would think the Texans, you know, with Romeo Cannell and J.J. Watt and company, they would be able to get after it. They're giving up almost 6 yards per carry, which is 31st. Second to last in the league. So, listen, Anthony Lynn and company, they're going to be coming downhill with their rushing attack against that Houston Texans defense.
So, which way are you walking here?
Where are you going?
Where are you going?
You have no choice, right?
Big man walking. Where's he going?
Come on, it is. Dad,
okay.
You know I'm going with the big dogs running the football. I'm coming downhill, going with the Los Angeles Chargers.
Okay.
All right, finally, it's the grudge match, but it's not really a grudge because this is so the opposite of nasty, right?
Playful banter this week between John Harbaugh, the Ravens head coach, and Andy Reid, the Chiefs head coach. Of course, Harbaugh wants a Reid disciple when he was a special teams coordinator there in Philadelphia. And two outstanding coaches, two guys that have been with their team for quite some time. And Susie, as we know, this one is any kind of banter you hear is simply meant in jest. These two have an immense amount of respect for each other and coaching two of the best teams in football right now.
Immense respect. However, Reid has gotten the better of his protege in their head-to-head matchups, taking three of the four meetings, and that includes wins in 2018, 2015 as Chiefs head coach. So Harbaugh was asked about matching wits with Reid again on Sunday.
Andy and I matching wits. You know, I don't think it'd be a real exciting intellectual thing to watch. Contest? Yeah. It's been great to play them over the years. We haven't won enough of them. That's what I think about.
Yes, that very long Andy Reid coaching tree.
Yes. Do I get to choose a side here or no? Is there a
sure.
drive pass to choose?
You got to pick a side.
Reflective of my game pick. I'm going to back on
okay.
over right here. Chiefs. You know what? I think this game starts out close, but the Chiefs at home wouldn't be surprised if they win by 10 or more points. Andy Reid gets the pick this week over two great head coaches here, though, Reid and Harbaugh.
It's hard not to lean toward the league MVP.
Yeah.
Who's playing.
I'm not
he could
it.
Win it again. If you're just checking in with NFL Live, good to have you here. A good time to go on the field. Field Yates with updates around the league. Field, what do you have?
Susie, we're just minutes away from finding out about Cam Newton's status officially for Sunday, but don't count on seeing Newton on the field when the Panthers go to Arizona to play the Arizona Cardinals. Expect Kyle Allen to be the starter after Cam Newton aggravated that foot injury that was initially sustained during the preseason. Allen will make his second career start. Former undrafted free agent has a chance to really prove his worth there. In Carolina. How about Josh Jacobs? Not just a groin injury. He's also been sick. He took to Instagram story to share that he's lost 10 pounds this week. Don't we all wish we could have such luck? But no, more seriously, Josh Jacobs has a hip issue, has limited so far in practice. We do expect to see him, though, on Sunday. At least it seems like there's a good chance we'll have him on the field against Minnesota. A couple other injury notes in Indianapolis. Darius Leonard is out for the game because of a concussion. He, of course, that game is against the Atlanta Falcons. Also, Marlon Marlon Mack return to practice on Friday. There's a chance he does play. If not, then it should be Marlon Mack, Nyheim Hines taking on a more prominent role there for the Indy backfield.
Thank you, Field. Of course, we'll be keeping you posted on Cam Newton. Ron Rivera press conference coming at 2:45 Eastern. In the meantime, on Friday, we do game picks, so more game picks with Damian and Rob. Let's start with Bengals and Bills.
I got the Bills 24-17. Listen, this Bills, Rob, you know this Bills defense is no joke. Like, Sean McDermott has that unit fired up. They get after the quarterback, and I think it's going to be more the same getting after Andy Dalton this week.
The Bills Mafia will be in full effect, so I'm definitely going Bills 21-10. Look, you look at what Cincinnati's doing right now. They're not running the ball well. Their offensive line is struggling. Andy Dalton's kind of a one-dimensional team right now. So Buffalo's playing great on defense. It's going to be tough to go to Buffalo and beat them at home.
So you guys are thinking Bills are going 3-0. Like it. Steelers at 49ers.
I'm going 49ers 31-21. Jimmy G is playing really well right now. Seems like he's in a groove. Seems like there's just a lot of confidence in this team, particularly on the offensive side of the football. They're running the ball pretty well, and I think Jimmy G will expose that Steelers defense again.
I agree. I got to go 49ers. We all know Jimmy G's handsome fella, but he's playing lights out. He's playing super hot right now. We got to go 49ers. I'm going 35-17. That's a long trip. You know, Woody, how it is to go across the country and you're playing your young quarterback against the 49ers, who they're playing really well right now.
Texans at Chargers.
I'm going Texans 28-24. Even though I talked about the Chargers and how the Chargers are going to run the ball, they got Deshaun Watson, okay? So I'm going to go. I think Deshaun Watson is going to be the difference.
And I got to go Texans as well. I'm going 30-24. Deshaun's playing lights out. I know the offensive line, they've struggled a little bit, but I think moving forward, they're going to get it together.
Saints at Seahawks.
I'm going Seahawks 28-21. Listen, regardless if it's Teddy Bridgewater or Taysom Hill, that's a rough place to play up there with the 12s up there in Seattle. Russell Wilson is playing like Russell Wilson has always played, so I'm going with the Seahawks.
And I'm going to go opposite of you right now. I'm going to say the Saints are going to win this game close, 23-21.
Okay.
They're going to go up there. They're going to take this us against everybody mentality, and they're going to go up there and surprise people, and they're going
to
win.
They feel like they have a lot to prove.
Backs against the wall.
Rams at Browns.
I'm going Rams 27-24. Listen, this Rams team, particularly Aaron Donald on defense, That Cleveland Browns offensive line is not very good, and I think that Rams front is going to be able to get after Baker Mayfield.
And I'm going Rams as well, 31-21. You know, I got to go a little bad Baker here. You know, if you look at the Jets game, yeah, they beat the Jets, one of the worst teams in the NFL. And if you take away the Odell Beckham slant for a touchdown, he didn't have a great game. So I got to go with the Rams. They're going to beat them.
They're just still not as disciplined as you believe they can be.
Not yet.
Last week's edition, there was some foreshadowing. It's a regular part of the lineup here on the Friday NFL Live. Damian's dumpster fire, defined as a laughably poor performance, usually caused by a lack of planning, preparation, or talent. So last Friday, you were all over the Browns, but you referenced the Jets because, of course, the Browns were going to be playing the Jets. Now it's the J-E-T-S that are in your sights.
Well, listen, Susie, the Tennessee Titans had an incident on their field where there was a fire. But guess what? They were able to exterminate that fire. But the fire in New York, I can tell you right now, it is burning back. Can we roll the tape? Let's roll the tape a little bit, please.
The only thing I'm buying is, you know, probably just got to watch out for the cheap shots and the dirty hits and all the things that he likes to teach.
Odell who?
If I was a coach, I would never teach what he teaches, but that's just him and what he does.
We don't do that. Never done that anywhere I've been. We don't do anything to hurt the team. It's the number one primary thing. If you're committing penalties, you're doing those type of stuff, we just don't do it. And, you know, you guys are cooperating, giving him attention.
I mean, you know, I had players on this team telling me that that's what he was telling them to do, take me out of the game, and it's preseason. So you just know who he is.
I don't want to talk about that.
You're on, but you're also
you want to talk about Cleveland. Next.
Oh,
Oh boy, look at that. We heard Greg Williams talking all that smack. Odell Beckham giving him the business right there. Oh, but you know when you talk crazy like that in a meeting, oh, you know you gotta come back and get it. Right here, right out of the gate. Look at it, just drop the bomb down on Odell Beckham Jr. Oh, look at Greg Williams on the sideline. He's trying to act like he's just calm right now, acting like everything's all good. Oh, but look at it. The rage is building with Greg Williams. He's starting to turn, getting on the guys on the sideline. Odell Beckham Jr. lighting up the dumpster fire already? Oh, then he drop him on the slant, just running down the field. What is this, 80-something? What is this, 80-something yards? Odell Beckham Jr. takes it to the house? Oh, and then, can we show Greg Williams on the sideline? Oh, we're on the Disney Family Network. I can't even repeat what Greg Williams is saying on the sideline right now. This is just all crazy. But when you talk big and you talk a lot of noise in the press conference, Greg Williams, this is the type of things you get. And we know with the Jets right now, you on your third string quarterback. Okay, you bench your cornerback. Okay, you got all types of guys out and you want to be talking smack about one of the best wide receivers in the National Football League, and you think things are going to get any better. But guess what? Guess what? You got the New England Patriots coming up on the schedule right now. You thought the Cleveland Browns embarrassed y'all on Thursday Night Football? What in the world you think is going to happen now when you're going up against Bill Belichick, I can tell you right now, Bill Belichick doesn't hold anything back when it comes to the New York Jets. So listen, if you guys don't get any get right, you guys will be right back into the dumpster fire again next week, because I'm telling you right now, the Patriots are coming to take your soul. You better believe it. Believe that.
How are they going to get right? How are they going to get right against the Patriots?
It's hard to get right when you got a third string quarterback, Susie. It's hard to get right.
So what you're saying is they're going to just keep on burning.
We might need one of them like big 747s to fly over Florham Park and try to dump some water on them, on top of them. But I don't know if that's going to extinguish it. I really don't.
Sorry, Jets. Breaking news, although we've been anticipating this all week. So, Field, what can you tell us that you've learned about Cam Newton's status for this Sunday?
He will not play on Sunday, Susie. As you mentioned, this is as expected against the Arizona Cardinals. It's a foot issue that we saw flare up on Thursday night, that loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So no Cam Newton means that Kyle Allen, who beat out Will Greer for that backup job in preseason, will be the starting quarterback against the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday.
So now we know 6 teams will start different quarterbacks than they did in week 2. That is an unbelievable number. And they aren't experienced vets. Teddy Bridgewater, the only one on this list with at least 15 career starts. So guys, what has to be the game plan for Carolina? I'm sure they had a pretty good idea that Cam would not be playing.
You ever heard of a guy, Christian McCaffrey?
Greg Olsen, those two guys.
It has to be a heavy dose of those two guys. I mean, Christian McCaffrey is going to get it any type of way, even if Cam Newton was in the lineup. But yep. I mean, even more so now, you got a new guy in first start. You got to put the ball in playmakers' hands if you're the Carolina Panthers.
DJ Moore, 24 targets through 2 games. Don't be surprised if the precision passing game actually looks pretty sharp. I understand people are saying, okay, if this guy Kyle Allen is so good, why didn't he get drafted and why has he been such an unassuming name up to this point? Well, we'll find out. I think the Panthers have a lot of confidence in this young player and a grand opportunity. Think about him, a guy that overlooked in the draft process, has a chance to establish his value to both the Carolina Panthers and perhaps the league going forward. If we've learned anything over the past couple of weeks, it's that the quarterback carousel can spin at any moment in the NFL.
And then you look at Cam, maybe this 1 week to where he can rest and recover will help him down the road. You don't know, because maybe that injury that was affecting him in the preseason has been lingering for the first 2 weeks, re-injured it again. Maybe this week of rehab will help him going through the season, but we'll see. We'll find out.
And a nice homecoming for Kyle Allen, who is from Arizona,
right,
and gets
from Scottsdale. There's a lot of symmetry.
A lot of
here.
Ticket
He's
requests
from
now.
There you
no
go. Right
now.
Seriously.
Hey, can I get phone?
And no distractions at all.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so let's move on. Patriots, Jets, open locker room in Foxborough just wrapped up. Tom Brady asked about how active he was on social media last night during Thursday Night Football and all those penalties.
Tom, judging from your Twitter feed last night, you seem pretty annoyed at those refs in the Jaguars-Titans game. What's up with that?
I didn't say annoyed.
I wonder if you could just elaborate a little bit.
No, I don't want to. I want to talk about the Jets.
There's never an easy game in the NFL. They're all challenging. They're really good opponents and well coached. A lot of good players.
How about Antonio Brown? Are all the headlines affecting what's going on the field?
I'm just preparing like I always do, trying to play well this weekend against the Jets. Just doing what I can do, focus on what I can focus on, control what I can control. You know, you wake up, get a chance to play football. It's my 20th year, you know. It's a great opportunity for me.
Field, what more can you tell us about Antonio Brown?
As of right now, Susie, this is very much a minute-by-minute situation, and in some ways the Patriots are allowing the league to kind of handle this first, right? Let the league continue to do its investigation and make a decision on the roster status for Antonio Brown. He remains on their active roster. He can play on Sunday. And although there are a lot of accusations from multiple people now, as things presently stand, Antonio Brown figures into the Patriots' plans on Sunday. But let me just be entirely clear. This could change at any moment. It could change before we get off the air right now. It could change 2 minutes after we get off the air. This is a situation that a lot of people, both outside and I think internally, are wondering, is there going to be some sort of action from the league before the game on Sunday?
Yeah, late afternoon on Friday is always
a typical
fairly active time.
News dump, yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned.
About that. In the meantime, when Brady takes the field on Sunday, the quarterback on the other sideline will surely be looking up to him. Jets starter Luke Falk was picked 199th overall. Like Brady, his first start will come at the age of 24 in week 3 against a future Hall of Fame quarterback. So really the only thing separating the two are 6 Super Bowl rings and 209 career wins. But you know, Adam Gase said that Falk is like Brady Jr. He's so confident. Nobody can tell him he's a number 3 and he knows the offense inside and out. So with all that said, Damian,
what's
going to
happen?
I know both you guys are picking the Patriots. What
what's
about the score?
Happen?
They're 3 touchdown favorites.
This is going to be ugly. I got 45-10. It's just, I mean, listen, Adam Gase can say all the right things, and I understand he's been with them, but you're going up against a team that's only allowed, what, 3 points?
3 points.
3 points in 2 games in Foxborough. That's a tall task to ask.
I don't think the Jets score a touchdown in this game. So I'm going 38-6. Maybe they may be getting distance and kicking 2 field goals, but it doesn't look good for the Jets. I mean, I'm sure you could tell your third string quarterback everything you want. You got all the confidence. You know the plays, but we're going to play the best defense in the league and we're playing Tom Brady at home.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good for the Jets. So, and to top it all off, like you said, there's a little place in
Bill's heart hold back against the Jets.
That he wants to play the Jets every week and put up 40, 50 on them.
So to top off, we've got some injury news too.
Right.
Quinnen Williams, CJ Mosley, ooh, two of the best defensive players on the Jets.
Mm. Still out.
Still out.
Still out.
So they're going to be shorthanded. Oh, Brian Poole, their most experienced, and by the way, slot cornerback facing off against the Super Bowl MVP, Julian Edelman. He got banged up in practice yesterday. Tremaine Johnson, their $72 million cornerback, he's been benched. Hook it ugly on Sunday.
Seems functional.
In celebration of the NFL's 100th season, we look back at this date in NFL history. September 20th, 1987. Walter Payton broke Jim Brown's record for the most rushing touchdowns in NFL history. The beloved Bears legend did it, as he often did, from a yard out. The first quarter score in a win over the Bucks at Soldier Field was the 107th rushing touchdown of Payton's career. It would be his final season in the league. Sweetness finished with 110 career touchdowns on the ground. Still the 4th most all-time.
Final stop on a Friday. It's our challenge flags. Rob, whoa, you're up first.
I got a couple flags. How about these? How about that? How about this one? I'm challenging the refs. Let the players play, please. Let them play. Stop throwing the flags. The games are just becoming too long, and it's just ridiculous. Let's go. That's your challenge. Let the players play.
Like it. Damian?
I want to challenge the Pittsburgh Steelers. What is their identity on defense? You've invested unlimited resources from T.J. Watt, Bud Dupree. You traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick. Mike Tomlin, figure out what the Steelers are going to be on defense.
My turn here, and I'm going to go with Teddy Bridgewater. I'm challenging you to step up and take the starting job by the reins. Remember, this is why you got that one-year deal worth up to $15 million, that if Drew Brees did go down, you were more than capable to keep this team afloat in the playoff.
If you've got Bridgewater, then I've got Taysom Hill.
Ooh.
Taysom Hill's going to get some snaps at quarterback. Ooh. I challenge you to show us why Sean Payton calls you the next Steve Young.